Alrighty, so we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9 tonight. Honestly, when I first read through this section, I was like, why on earth did you stop there? It was so frustrating.
Okay, we're learning about all
this. Yeah.
It's terrible and depressing. Yeah. Thank goodness for the last part.
Yes. Yeah, I said to Noah, I was like, I do not understand why they just took this one little section and just stopped. I'm like, they literally stopped before the hope comes in.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so frustrating.
Putting on the new life.
Yeah.
Darn.
So it's like, I was like, it's all like depressing and discouraging. And I was like, why on earth would you just stop it there? Because it even naturally goes into the next section, right? There's an and. And I was like, what is the point of this? But honestly, it is good to focus on those things that we need to remove from our lives. Because if, I think if this section was both, it would be so easy just to focus on, oh yeah, we want to put this to death, but this is what we have, and this is, you know, this is what we should be doing, and this is, you know, it's so easy to focus on the good, but we want to make sure that the bad isn't in our lives.
Yeah.
So, in order to know that we don't have those things in our lives, we need to know what they are. And that's exactly why, over and over again, I mean, they brought it out in the in our lesson this time, over and over again, in all the different books Paul writes, right? He just makes these lists. These are the things. These are the things. And it truly is so important. And I think that's probably why the book split it up, so that we could just focus on these things that we want to make sure we're rid of in our lives. We don't want to hold on to those. We want to put them to death. So we're going to read Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And so here we see Paul, and he writing to Colossae, he's like, these are the things that you need to put off, right? And towards the end, it says, put off all of these things. At the beginning, it says, put to death. It's final. When something is put to death or dies, it's final. It's not coming back to life. Not now, at least, in that sense. But it's that picture of it's final, it's done with, right? When we put off these things that are ungodly, things that are unrighteous, as Paul puts it in I think Galatians maybe, he calls it unclean, unrighteous. And when we put those things to death, right, we want to be done with them, right? We don't want them creeping back up into our lives. And so it just really is that picture of it's final, it's over, it's done. It's the same picture of when Christ died for us on the cross, he paid for those things to be done. They've been paid for, it's done, it's over with. And so we don't want to go into those things. I think that Colossae was in this state where they were having trouble figuring out what was of God and what was of the world and what was, and Paul just wanted to remind them where to set their affections. I know last time we talked about seeking those things which are above, or setting our mind on things above. And in the same sense as setting your mind on things above, it takes action. Putting to death, it takes action. We're not sitting by passively and just thinking, yep, they're done, they're gone. It's so easy for things to creep in when we sit by passively. I think about recently after I had Micah, I really wanted to make sure that I healed my body, right? I wanted to make sure that I was able to rebuild those abs and everything that was there before. I really wanted to heal, so I started working out, right? And it's like that same sense. If you just sit by passively, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to be able to heal. You're not going to be able to fix those things. You're not going to be able to come back together if you're not putting some kind of effort towards it. Whereas if you sit by passively, honestly, if you just sit around forever, you atrophy, right? You lose those muscles. But if you put effort into it, even if it's just walking or working out or whatever, right, you're rebuilding those things. It's an action that we have to take place, that has to take place in our lives. In verse 5, the things that we're putting to death are the members which are on the earth. It's fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The book pointed out that idolatry here was connected to the last of these, the covetousness. And I agree with that because, yes, covetousness is idolatry, right? You're constantly looking at something else. But truly, the way that this is put, I think that when he says, which is idolatry, I think he's talking about all of these things. I don't think he's just talking about covetousness. I think he's talking about every single one of these sins, and sin in general, because ultimately, sin is idolatry. It's a worship of self. It's the worship of the God of me. And truly, that's what sin is. Instead of worshiping God and putting God first, we're going, okay, well, I kind of would rather do these things. You know, some of these things, right? Sin is pleasurable for a season, right? It feels good to me. It's what I like to do. It's what I enjoy. It really is a self-worship. The idol is me. It's myself. When I sin, I'm taking my eyes off of Christ and I'm taking them onto myself. And it truly is a worship of self. And that's why I think that he was talking about all of these things as being idolatry. And it's the book also took, they took us to several different places that have these huge lists of things that disqualify us from heaven. Oh, yeah. And it went everything from fornication, idolatry, murder, hatred, even jealousy, pride, being fucked up, things that are like, oh, that doesn't seem like that bad. You know, murder, that seems like horrible. Of course, that disqualifies you from heaven, right? But then it said jealousy. Being jealous of someone else, that disqualified you. I was like, oh, yikes. I've definitely been jealous of people before. Oh, I wish I had what they had. It's so easy to get to that place. And I think truly, if we think about that overwhelming list of all the things in all the different books, all those different passages that disqualify us from heaven, it is so impossible to get there, right? It is absolutely impossible. And that just shows us how big and how great our God is and how loving and merciful he is, because none of us deserve forgiveness. None of us deserve redemption. We truly are disqualified. Even when we're born, right? We're born with a sin nature. Immediately, we're disqualified from heaven. And yet, he was merciful to forgive, and we'll see that next time. But I think it is cool, too, that in verse 6, after verse 5, obviously, after this list of things, it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, right? There's a consequence for sin. We don't just sin and nothing happens, right? There's a consequence for our actions, for our sin. If you would turn to Romans, chapter 1.
Can you see okay? Oh, yeah, okay. We'll start from here.
In Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man, the birds and the four-footed animals and the creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to their uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served creatures rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." And in my Bible at verse 25, where it says, "Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator." We don't ever want to get to that point where we worship the creature rather than the one who created. When we sin, and even if it's little things, right, we're worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. When we put those things above our relationship with God, we are committing adultery, right? And it says at the end, those who practice such things are deserving of death, right? We deserve death, and yet we don't receive death because of his love for us. But we are so deserving of death. And I know in the book it brought out that part of the consequence of sin is his wrath, right? Tribulation, anguish, and a removed access from heaven. I don't think that any of us wants to get to that point where we lose access to Christ. We want to be in his presence. We want to be able to stand before him and him just say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," right? So we want to put to death those things that are going to hinder us, are going to hinder our relationship with Christ. And then in verse 7 of Colossians chapter 3, says, "In which you yourselves once walked, and when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are put off of all of these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." Right? We don't want to have that false image where we look good on the outside, but on the inside we're rotting, filthy corpse. right? We want to put to death and put off and put away those things, not only visible to other people, but also that which is visible to Christ, because that's what's most important. Who cares what we look like to other people? It's ultimately what matters is how we look to Christ. And right, we don't want to lie to each other and be like, yep, everything's good, everything's great, but secretly have this sin like in our closets, right? We don't want to be hiding. Right, we can be open with each other. If we're struggling in an area, ultimately I think it does help to tell someone else, because if you tell someone else, they'll hold you accountable if you ask them to. But ultimately, right, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us. So it's that promise that we have. If we're willing to confess to him that these things, and we know these things that I'm doing they're wrong. If we're willing to say to God, listen, I agree with you that this is sin and this is wrong. He's going to forgive us. He's going to forgive us. I have written here, it says, but as we will see next time, we're going to put on the new and put to death the old. It's final. But in Christ, we find forgiveness, right? We find redemption. We find hope. That's what we'll be looking at next week. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 5. Here, Paul calls us to walk in the Spirit, right? And when we walk in the Spirit, we're not walking in the ways of the world. The ways of the world are put to death in our lives when we walk in the Spirit. In verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, right? They're opposed to each other. They can't go hand in hand. We can't be living in sin and be walking in the Spirit. It is impossible, right? And 1 John, it talks about how the light repels the darkness. You can't have light and darkness. If you think that you have light and you have darkness and you're sinning, then you deceive yourselves. In verse 17, and it says, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, right? It's a denied access. If you're walking in these ways, if you're walking against the Spirit and walking in the flesh, you are denied access to the kingdom of God. But then it goes on and says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, right? These are the things that we want to be clothed in, right? We want to be clothed in love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? When we're clothed in those things, it is so evident that we are walking in the Spirit. Whereas if we're clothed in those other things in that huge long list there, if we're clothed in those, we're clearly walking in the flesh. Verse 24, it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Right? So there again, if we say we're Christ, we have crucified the flesh. We've even crucified the passions and the desires. We should not even want at all to do those things. Those things shouldn't sound good to us anymore. And that's when it becomes, it's evident that we're living, we're walking in the Spirit. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. verse 11. In the previous verses, it's another one of those lists of these are the things that will cause you to not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And in verse 11 it says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God." Once we have put to death those things, right? Once we have confessed and He has forgiven, we become redeemed, right? He begins to wash us, sanctify us, and justify us. And when we're washed and we're being sanctified, that's when those desires no longer appear to do those things of the flesh, right? When we, sanctification is the process of God making us more like Him. And so as we are sanctified in Christ more and more, we desire those fruits of the Spirit rather than the fruits of the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, here Paul is talking about the new man, when we become a new creation. So Ephesians 4, verse 17 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to the lewdness, to the work of all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the Spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And so here we see in verse 17, I think it is such a cool picture of, we don't want to walk as the rest of the world walks. We don't want to look like the rest of the world. We don't want to act like the rest of the world, even behind closed doors. We don't want to act like the rest of the world, even behind closed doors where nobody can see us. We want to act and walk in Christ. In verse 22 there, it says that you put off those things concerning your former conduct, the old man, those things that grow corrupt according to deceitful lust. And then it says, and be renewed. Being renewed, it's a complete change. It's no longer the same, but it's new. It's made new in the Spirit of your mind, that you have put on a new creature, a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It's easy to want to walk in the ways of the flesh, and it appears that we're righteous, or it appears that we're holy, but it says that when we truly put off the old man and put on the new man, we are created according to God in true righteousness, in true holiness. And so that's just the encouragement I think that we get from this section in Colossians. It's to put to death those things. We don't want to walk as the world walks. We want to walk as Christ walks. He's our example. We want to live in that way. And we want to do it whether we're in front of people or we're by ourselves. We want to walk in a way that would be pleasing to Christ. So, yeah.
Amen.
Very good.